This year we're talking about becoming Jesus strong. And often we do things to sap our strength, okay? If it's really hot and you're outside in the yard, you're gonna lose your strength. If you have not gotten enough sleep, you're going to lose your strength. If you are going through a stressful, anxious time in your life, you're just not going to have any energy for anything. So physically, you can do things that will sap your strength. When we talk about Jesus strong, I have to realize there are things that I do that can sap, can draw, can take away my spiritual strength. And in this passage, we're going to talk about priorities in James 5, 1 through 6. We're going to talk about those that are attached to the things of this world. Do you know that the more you get attached to the things of this world, the less you're going to have that spiritual strength? So please stand with me as we read James 5, 1 through 6. We're going through the book of James. James 5, 1 through 6. James does not pull any punches. He kind of just comes at us full force. Now, right now, you're going to be tempted to think, I am so glad so-and-so is here to hear this message. Okay, right? You know what I'm talking about. Okay, but instead, let's just all open up to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit speak to all of us today. Okay. James 5, verse 1. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure in the last days. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you have kept back by fraud, are crying out against you, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you. Father in heaven, I thank you that your word is powerful. It's like a sword. It cuts and opens us up so that we can find healing with you. Lord God, there are some in this room that are hurting financially. They're hurting because they have no job. They maybe are homeless, or maybe their job has not been satisfying. Lord God, you know the people in this room that have bills to pay. They don't know how to pay them. You know people in this room that have plenty and are generous and giving and thoughtful. But Lord God, you also see every one of our hearts, the areas of our lives that we're selfish, that we are holding on to stuff that we should not be holding on to. Lord God, you know the relationships that are hurting in this room. Lord God, I pray by your Holy Spirit that your word would speak with power today. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Some of you are old enough to know the name John D. Rockefeller. He was a very wealthy man, by the way, if you don't know that. And he was asked one day, how much money does it take to make someone happy? And his answer was, just a little bit more. Here's a multimillionaire, and he still does not have enough. How much more money does he need? A little bit more. When we had that fire come into the hills of the Tri-Cities in Kennewick, people lost their homes. I think four homes were totally destroyed and several others partially damaged. You know what it's like when your entire life is going about ready to go up in smoke. You learn what really matters. The flooding in North Carolina and South Carolina, and all that they had, all their stuff, is now being destroyed by water, and you learn what really matters. Maybe you've had a situation where you had a wake-up call, and you learned what really matters. Now, today we're going to talk about priorities. Now, make it a clarification moment here as I begin. There are a lot of stories in the Bible of righteous people that have a relationship with God that had wealth, okay? So this conversation today in God's Word is not about condemning you if you have some money in your bank account. Abraham was a very wealthy man. Isaac and Jacob, Joseph were all very wealthy. David and Solomon and Boaz and Esther and Joseph of Arimathea and Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, we believe, had a lot of resources because they were always gathering at their house and they were feeding everybody all the time. So you know how much that takes. So we just make an assumption that they had some resources. So now that the conversation we're having today is not to feel bad and make you feel guilty because you might have some resources, that you have a job and somebody else doesn't have a job and so you should feel bad. That is not what I'm talking about. Let me give you a word of wisdom in Proverbs 10:22. It says this, "The blessing of the Lord makes rich and he adds no sorrow with it." So the problem is not whether you have money in your bank account. The question is, are you doing it with the Lord's blessing? Is it a blessing from God to you? Do you see what you have as a blessing from God, or do you see what you have as what you have accomplished? Okay, is your focus on your things, or is your focus on the kingdom of God? If your focus is on the kingdom of God, then things become an opportunity to serve him, and blessings become something you thank God for, and you use it then for his glory. So the question is not whether you have things or not. The question is, are you having the priorities toward your things the way God would want you to have? So let me just ask you some questions this morning. The first one is, are you taking more and more treasure as your security? So James is concerned for the wealthy, and he's concerned for them because what's happening is instead of building up their relationship with God, they are building up their own security about their stuff, okay? So he says in verse 1, James 5, "Come now, you rich." So let me just kind of pause a moment. You can be rich with God, or you can be rich with the things of this world. So when he says rich, he's talking about the people that are not rich with God, but they're rich with the things of this world. And he says, now, if you want to know what God would tell you right now, he would say, "Weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you." Okay, so you see somebody drowning, and what they're doing, kind of like the movie The Titanic, this, you know, they're going to take all their possessions with them into the boat. They're dog paddling to survive, but man, they got their mink coat and they got their suitcases and they got their stuff. And you want to yell at them and say, "Let go of your stuff. You're going to die. You're going to drown if you keep holding on to that grand piano." You know what I'm talking about, okay? I mean, there's common sense in a moment here where James is telling them, your miseries are coming upon you. Don't you see the trouble that the stuff is bringing to you? Here's the concern. If your stuff is separating you from God. Okay, that's the question. Okay, so Jesus says in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if the number one thing that you're treasuring is your stuff, you have no room for Jesus. Okay, then you got a problem. 1 Timothy 6:10 says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. So if you're loving your stuff so you have no room to love God, you're in trouble. Okay, love the Lord your God, what? With all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your might, all that you have. You love him and then take the stuff as a blessing from him, but don't love the stuff and push him away. Because otherwise, it says miseries are coming if you do that. Luke 6:24, "Woe to you who are rich." Oh, by the way, this is Jesus talking. Now, he's saying rich because they're rich with the things of the world, not with God. "Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation." So, wow, you made yourself comfortable with your stuff, and you had some fun with your stuff, and man, you look good in the world with your stuff, but by the way, that's all the comfort you're ever going to get. You're going to get a few years of comfort now, but when you get to the next life, you will have no comfort. Let's think about it a moment. This life is short. this life passes quickly. Eternity, I don't know if you knew this, eternity is very long. Yeah, it is. Okay, so you know the story of the rich man and Lazarus Jesus tells in Luke 16. This man had nothing, Lazarus, he had nothing. He was poor, he was a beggar. He had no earthly comfort. Then you have the rich man. He has all the earthly comfort. And so then now they both die. Guess what? They switch places, so to speak. Now the man who had all the comfort in this world dies, but he had no relationship with God, and so now he's at a place of torment. And the poor man who had no comfort in this world now is a place of comfort for all eternity. Now, who had the better deal? Guys, you guys know how to think this through. Rich man, comfort now, short time, torment for eternity, or hard time now, Lazarus, and comfort for eternity, which one would you take? Okay, you guys have got to be smart enough to know that it's a better deal to go after eternity, okay, to go after what values in eternity. Okay, so verse 2 says, your riches have rotted and your garments are moth-eaten. This is the wake-up call when you have a preservation of your stuff, and it's in your attic, it's in your basement, and we used to put all of our stuff in cardboard boxes. I don't know if you remember those days, you know. Nowadays, it's all totes, okay? We got the plastic totes and the secure stuff, you know. So when you put stuff in the attic, and it's going to be preserved from the mice. And so we used to have cardboard boxes, and we put all of our stuff in the garage or somewhere in cardboard boxes. And then we'd go and look for it at Christmas time or look for it, and some mouse had eaten the corner of the cardboard box. And then there, all of our stuff is messed up, and it got moldy because it got wet in the garage. Or, you know what I'm talking about. Has anybody ever had that moment? Okay, so now he says, you give your stuff, you give your life to the stuff, and I love Proverbs 23:5. It's a great verse. For suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven. And it's talking about your stuff. It's like money comes and money goes. We've had our share of yard sales. Man, it's so awesome, man. You can make some money. But have you ever had one of those wake-up moments when it's Saturday morning and you laid all your stuff out and you go, okay, what's the price tags on these? You know, $5, $3, $2. And have you ever had a wake-up call where you go, oh my goodness, I spent $50 on that thing, and now I'm going to give it away for $1, you know, and I really needed this for my garage, and I spent $100 on this, and now I'm giving it away for $5. Have you ever had that wake-up call where all of a sudden something was very valuable to you, and now it has very little value? My wife likes to go to Goodwill stores. A lot of great stuff at Goodwill. Did you know I'm a little ticked with Goodwill right now? If you work for Goodwill, God bless you. But I'm literally a little ticked because if you go to Goodwill store, I don't know if you noticed this or not, their prices have gone up. What? This is used stuff. Why are you $10 for a used shirt? Give me a break. But I want them just to give it to me. Have you ever gotten a raise? Anybody in the room, say amen. Okay, sometime in your life. Okay, and you thought, if I could only get a little bit more money and get that dollar raise, I will have no more problems. And then how quickly, now the raise is not enough anymore. How quickly we spend up to our income. Isn't that interesting? Verse 3, your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you. Okay, I don't know if this is going to happen literally or not, but let's just talk this through a moment. So you give your life to stuff, give your life to stuff, no room for God, give your life to stuff, give your life to stuff, and then someday you face God. And you're holding on to your stuff, and God says, well, did you have room for me? No, I got my stuff. And then you look down at your stuff, at the judgment, and it's kind of corroding right in front of you because it's not going to take you into heaven. It's not going to have any value in heaven, and it will actually, as you're gripping onto your stuff, it will actually become a judgment of evidence against you. Because Jesus will ask you, did you have a relationship with me? Nope, I didn't have time for you. I got my stuff. And now that will ring through the courtroom of heaven as evidence against you. Question you need to figure out. Is your stuff worth it? I mean, is it really worth your eternity to push Jesus away so you can have your stuff? Now, when our country was founded, Patrick Henry, what a great patriot. Give me liberty or what? Give me death. I mean, awesome. During the Civil War, President Lincoln did, Emancipation Proclamation, it was give me liberty. People need liberty, freedom. And today, say it out loud with me, give me. You see where we've come from? Man, I'll sacrifice my life for our nation. I'll sacrifice for the freedom of people. And now, just give me. I just want stuff. I want to be happy. Then he says in verse 3, they will eat your flesh like fire. It's like, so you're holding on to your stuff, and now it's actually burning you up, your stuff. Okay. If you're going to face the fire someday, do you really want to bring a bunch of flammable stuff with you? Okay, that's what he's saying. He said, the more stuff you've accumulated, the more you're bringing to the fire. By the way, that's the lake of fire. That's hell. That's Gehenna. That's not where you want to go. Okay, and why would you bring more fuel for the fire? Okay, for the judgment. Proverbs 11:4 says, riches do not profit in the day of wrath. Okay, so you got your riches, you got your stuff, and now the Bible says that our sin brings judgment, so here comes the wrath of God, and you're going to think, okay, I'm going to protect myself against the wrath of God with my stuff. And Jesus says, that's not going to help you. James says in verse 3, you've laid up treasure in the last days. So the closer you get to we're in the last days. Jesus is coming. Maybe today. So the closer I get to the last days, the closer I get to seeing God someday and to be held accountable with God, do I really want to lay up more stuff? Okay. Or should I think that time is running out? Time is running out. And the closer I get to the judgment day, should not I figure out my relationship with God? Jesus asked this question in Matthew 16. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Okay, so you got your stuff and you have forfeited your soul, your relationship with God. Tell me, is that a good decision? Second question, are you taking advantage of others? So as we're going to be held accountable someday, we have to figure out our priority with stuff, but now we're going to the area of relationships. So he says in verse 4, behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you have kept back by fraud, are crying out against you. So now, we're talking about in those days, there was a farming community, and day laborers were the backbone of the farming community. And they had an understanding that if you had a day laborer, they would always be paid at the end of the day. That's why they're called a day laborer. Okay, so when you worked a day's wages, you would get paid at the end of the day. You would come to the head of the field or the orchard, and at the end of the day, when the sun goes down, and he would pay his workers. Deuteronomy 24:15 even instructs the owners of land, make sure you pay your workers at the end of the day. So it's very clear in Scripture. So now you come to the end of the day. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. So now we have the workers coming to the owner, and the owner says, hey, come back tomorrow. Maybe I might have some money for you. I used your labor, but I'm not going to pay you. Go away, come back tomorrow. And they go home to their moms or their dads or their wives, and they say, we worked all day, but we didn't get paid. And so they cry out to God, God, help us. We're in need, and the owner, the manager, our boss, is not listening to our need. We worked hard, but we didn't get paid. Okay, you have two choices here with this world. You can love things and use people, or you can love people and use things. Okay, that's a priority decision you got to figure out. The first point, we talked about the attitude toward the stuff, but now I have to figure out, are people more important than things? Are people more important than my selfish desires? So the Lord of hosts, by the way, is referred to. Another way to say it is the Lord of armies. So I just want to tell all of you today, if you're being taken advantage of, if somebody is being selfish and hurting you, if you have a boss that's difficult, I want to tell you, go to God. He'll listen to your cry. The Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, the commander-in-chief will listen to your cry. He is not deaf to the cries of the poor. He's not deaf to the cries of oppression. He's not deaf to the cries of injustice. Proverbs 3:27 says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come again tomorrow. I will give it when you have it with you. Did you see the difference there? When you have it to give, but you choose to not give what is due, then that's the sin. Now, if you don't have it, you can be honest and say, man, I'd love to help you, but I don't have it. But if you have it and you hold it back, you're hurting people with your resources. That is not pleasing to Jesus. Have you ever heard the phrase, you're killing me, okay? Maybe a boss has got an expectation that's like way out of the... And you go to your boss, or maybe you just go to your coworkers and say, man, he's killing us. Have you ever heard that phrase before? Did you know that's literal? There was a study in England of how bosses treated their employees. And if a boss was selfish and unfair to its employees, they did a survey on this, and they found out that that you're giving your employees a 30% more likely chance to have coronary heart disease. Okay. In other words, if you're an unfair boss, you're killing them. Okay. So go to your boss with this and say, my pastor said I need a raise. Okay. Maybe that'll help out. I don't know. With my priorities, I've got to be asking myself all the time, am I loving things and using people, or am I loving people and using the things that God has given me? Number three, are you taking everything for yourself? So the first point had to do with the overall view of stuff. The second had the idea of my priorities in relationship to people. But now let's just talk about selfishness for a moment. Verse 5, you have lived on the earth in luxury. By the way, literally the Greek word there means soft life. Okay, you have a soft life. So, and it's implied at the expense of others. And then it uses the word self-indulgence, which means I don't care about God and I don't care about other people. It's all about me. Okay, has anybody ever seen that in their own hearts? Okay. The prodigal son, describing his choice in Luke 15, it says he squandered his property in reckless living. In other words, he didn't care about his dad. He didn't care about his brother. He didn't care about his family. He didn't care about anybody but himself, and that's how he lived his life. Ecclesiastes, what an amazing book. If you want to get a wake-up call on your priorities, you need to... read the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 2. This is what it says. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. It's kind of like somebody who wins the lottery, I guess. Here it goes. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in my toil. Then I considered all that my hands had done, and behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind. So here it's written by Solomon, who has everything. He has more money than you could possibly imagine. Do you know that one of the hit movies in the theater right now, and I haven't seen it, it's called Crazy Rich Asians. Have you seen that? I mean, it's basically, what does a family look like that has a, you know, boku bucks, you know, and they can do whatever they want? And we all have a secret desire to be that person. A secret desire to win the lottery or to win it big at a casino or to win it big somewhere. Have a long-lost relative that dies and they leave us everything. It's not happening. But it's interesting how we desire that. James says, you have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. So now he goes to the stockyard, and he says, now, the owner of the herd of cattle, let's say, was watching the cows, and he knows that tomorrow is slaughter day. And what are the cows doing? They're eating, and the guy is really happy. Come on, eat some more, eat some more, eat some more. Why? Because then I'm going to get a bigger payday at the day of slaughter, okay? Don't you know that tomorrow you're going to die? Yeah, I'm going to die. Let me give me some more grass, you know? And we don't care. The cow says, I don't care. Give me some more grass. So what James is saying is you're facing the judgment day, and it seems like you don't care. Man, just give me more stuff. Give me more selfishness. Jesus describes Matthew 7, verse 13. Wide is the road to destruction. I mean, it's heading right to hell, and basically, man, we don't care. Man, let's go. Let's do it. And when your heart is filled with selfishness, it can destroy you. There was a story out recently about a couple that came to help a homeless man. I don't know if you heard the story. And so they set up a GoFundMe account for him, and they raised over $400,000. That's pretty cool. But according to the man that was homeless, he never saw a dime. This couple took vacations and spent money, and the selfishness was there. And it sneaks into our own heart. There's some reality TV shows that maybe are on right now that reflect our problem and our culture. It's all about stuff. You can watch American Pickers, Auction Hunters, Auction Kings, Buried Treasure, Flea Market Flip, Hoarders, Junk Gypsies, Junkyard Wars, Pawn Stars, Picker Sisters, I don't know what that's about, Storage Wars, a spin-off show, Storage War Texas, and it's all about all the stuff that we have, you know. And did you know that one out of every 11 homes in America has a self-storage space? I'm not saying that's terrible. You need a place to put your stuff. But, yeah. So, selfishness. I need my stuff. Don't bother me with my stuff. I need more stuff. But is selfishness taken over your life? One last thought I want to share with you, and that is, are you taking the life of the righteous? In other words, they began to condemn or murder the righteous person, according to verse 6. You might think that's kind of extreme, and it is. But have you ever studied the life of Judas? 30 pieces of silver. Oh, man, that would be so awesome. Man, I would have so much stuff if I could get 30 pieces of silver in my hands. Man, now I got my 30 pieces of silver. Man, this is my life has finally hit the jackpot. Jesus? Well, I guess I don't need you. I just need my stuff. And you know how that story ended. He is overwhelmed with the conviction of what he does, and he throws the 30 pieces of silver away. He says, no. So how long will it take us to get this thing straight in our priorities? How long will it take before we realize that the relationship I can have with God through Jesus is the greatest thing in this entire universe. That the eternity perspective is that Jesus is worth everything. So the question you need to kind of feel at the very end of this little passage that kind of just rips us apart here on our priorities is, am I rich with stuff or am I rich with God? The stuff is okay. God blesses. There's nothing wrong. Don't go out of this room feeling guilty. But are you truly rich with God? Have you put Him first and then used the stuff He gives you for His glory? Are you rich in faith? Are you building up a relationship with God through Christ? Are you rich in relationships? Were you loving people more than loving things? This is a kind of a spiritual checkup moment. I hope in your life group you have good conversation about what we can be doing to reach out to people in need and how we can bless people that are going through hard things, how we can use our stuff for the glory of God. And this church has been so generous. I mean, we see people with the benevolent ministry and with the Celebrate Recovery ministry and with the children's ministry and the youth ministry and our missions effort. And we are reaching out to UGM and we reach out to Grace Clinic and we reach out to U Medical. And this church cares about the needy. And I'll tell you right now, that's going to tell us what really matters is a relationship with Jesus. Does that describe you? Or have you got sidetracked? Please bow in prayer with me. Father in heaven, I thank you for the difference you've made in my life. Lord Jesus, you were rich, but you made yourself poor. You came to sacrifice it all for us. Lord God, help us to truly seek you more than anything. Lord God, if there's someone in this room that has made stuff the idol of their life, Lord God, may they hear the word that eternity is waiting for them. Lord God, thank you for your patience and your grace toward us. We call out to you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the difference that you are worth everything to us. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen.